Hey,
good morning.
Good morning to everybody. Thanks for allowing me to be with you today. Every day's a good day for me because I'm able to share God's word with you. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that wonderful? That assures us that God's word is so wonderful, so powerful. So that's my prayer, that whenever I read God's word on the broadcast, that it will not only pierce my heart, but yours also. Well, my verse for the day is 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. A father was in the midst of telling his story and saying, where in the world do kids get the stuff they come up with? He said, one evening as I was getting my 8-year-old son settled in bed for the night, he looked straight at me and said, you're my second favorite dad. Whoa, I thought, am I missing something here? But then quickly my son filled in and said, first is God, Dad. He's my number one father, and then you. Then the father went on to say, I'm so thankful that my son is able to transfer his feelings of love for his earthly father to his heavenly father. Well, I guess we can say that little boy had his priorities right. Our heavenly father should be number one in our lives. So the question of the day is, how does God express his fatherhood toward us? Well, here are some ways that I thought about. First of all, God desires an intimate relationship with you and me. And we can have that by walking closely with the Lord. We belong to the Lord, and he desires to be with us, to talk with us, meet with us, and to be with us all the time. Adam and Eve, you remember, walked and talked with the Lord in the garden before they sinned, and then they hid themselves. Now that Christ has bridged the gap and died for you and me, all of our sins, we can know without a doubt that when we accept this wonderful grace and mercy, that we too can have a child relationship with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that precious? And then I thought about God desires to communicate with us. Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when you enter your closet and you pray, shut the door and pray to Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. And then here's another good one, Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Well, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Isn't that a wonderful portion of Scripture? Wonderful promise. And how precious that we can visit with our Lord, and he loves to give us good things. And then I thought about the fact that God loves each one of us unconditionally. Oh my goodness, aren't you glad for that? John 17:22-23 assures us that the glory which the Lord gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Behold what manner of love he has, meaning Father, has for each one of us. So how precious, knowing that I'm a sinner, and I'm sure you would confess also that you are, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, that includes all of us. So a perfect Heavenly Father still loves us unconditionally. And then another thing that I thought about was God has promised to meet all of our needs. How about Matthew 6:33? One of the first verses I've ever learned. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And then going in that same chapter 6, he compares us with the birds and how he takes such good care of them. He prepares their food so that they only need to go and get it. And then further down in chapter 6, verse 26, it says, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much better than they? What a wonderful illustration. If those sweet little birds have everything provided, they just have to work for it and get it. It's there. Well, it's the same thing with us, isn't it? We don't have to work for salvation, but we have to read God's word and pray and know that God will supply our needs. Then how about God will always be there for us? The Lord has promised to never ever leave us or forsake us. That there's, I believe it's in the scriptures in several books of the Bible, but this one I wrote was from Hebrews 13:5. When the Lord ascended into heaven, he told us that he would send the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to guide us. When I left home after graduating from high school and went to college, I went back home from time to time. But you know, I never really established it as my permanent home again. But I never left home as far as the love of family and the principles that I learned were always with me. We may not live there, but we still have all of the memories and all of the teachings that our parents give us and what we learn as children. Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for us so that we could be with him through eternity. Oh, aren't you thankful for that promise? But in the meantime, while we're here on earth, he left the Holy Spirit to guide us, teach us, and to remind us of what Jesus was and who he is and the teachings. And then God loves us so much that he disciplines us. Hebrews 12:5-8 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Yes, God has to discipline us to make us grow up, really, and to make us a better person. Hebrews 12:10, I'm just going on in that same chapter, it teaches us that he disciplines us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The truth is, if you don't feel a real accountability toward and with God, you probably won't have any respect for God, or maybe you won't even acknowledge who he is. And if that's the case, you probably won't respect your own earthly father. And in that same chapter, verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seems joyous," ouch for sure, "but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So whether we like it or not, it's true, we are definitely accountable to our God every day of our lives. The eyes of the Lord are focused on each of us every day. And on Judgment Day, we will be made accountable before a holy God. And then another and last, God will always guide us to do the right thing. He promised to guide us into all truth. And the real truth is that we need to know him better and let him be our Heavenly Father. Just recently during my prayer time, I said, "Lord, please let me become better acquainted with you as my Father, so I won't have to learn so much when I get to heaven." And I realize it'll take all of eternity for us to learn the attributes of our Lord. But the more we can learn here on earth, isn't it good? The more we can trust and fellowship with him. And some of my most precious childhood memories are of my dad. I was the baby of the family and the apple of his eye. I followed him around, and I always wanted to sit on his lap as he plowed in the field with the horses, and I would follow him to the barn and step in the footprints. Then I would go out to his shop and watch him work on the broken implements and hand him the tools that he would ask for. He always made me feel so important and helped me with big decisions. And all of this in my life has allowed me to truly love and appreciate the teaching of God's Word as to how to love and respect and treat our Heavenly Father. Yes, I praise Him today and so thankful that I chose Him to be my Lord and my Savior. I can truthfully say He is my Father. I love Him and I thank Him for saving my soul. And I look forward to being with Him forever. Can you say that today? I pray so. Think about it. What is your relationship with our Heavenly Father? It's so good to be with you. Bye-bye.